You know, every few years in IT, there's a new development which is hailed as the next revolution in computing. And the latest buzzwords are cloud computing. As the creation of the much-touted broadband network goes ahead, cloud computing is the phrase du jour. But what is it? Some people say it'll cut the cost of computing by three quarters. Much complicated jargon's been bandied about, but no one seems to have worked out just what this will mean for you and I as consumers at home or at the office. Because this pay-for-what-you-use model resembles the way electricity, fuel and water are consumed. It's sometimes referred to as utility computing. Confused? Well, some blue skies ahead because Paul Wallbank, our technology guru from Codebreakers, joins us in studio tonight. Paul, good evening.
Good evening, Tony.
Well, cloud computing. I was going to get Tony Abbott to come in and explain it, but I think you could probably do a better job. Describe it in 20 words or less, cloud computing.
A really simple definition is you let somebody else's computer do the work for you.
Easy as.
Really what it means is when you use the term cloud, we're talking about tens of thousands of computers, well, in some cases millions of computers, out there sharing the load with your computer, and you're doing the work through your web browser normally to do all of this. So you don't have to have the servers. Your computer isn't doing all the work in your office or in your home.
So in other words, it's a storage unit? Is that what we're talking about?
It's both storage and the application. So when you think about how we use computers, mm-hmm. you can split it into two different ways. You've got the tools, which we call the applications or the software, so you know, the Microsoft Word or the MYOB or that sort of thing. And then on the other side, you've got the data. So when you create, say, you're doing your accounting, you're creating a file that you then store, or you're using a word processor, you're creating a document, and then you store that. So you've got the two components there, the application and the data you create with that tool. And with cloud computing, you can be saving both of them off onto somebody else's group of servers. Mm.
This doesn't sound brand new. Is this how old systems used to work? I'm almost certain.
Funny enough, it is. This goes right back to the very early days of computing. I mean, if you think about it, say, 20, 30 years ago, there was a computer terminal with a green screen, and there was a server sitting in town somewhere.
I think one of the biggest in the world was here in Sydney. I think that Sydney University, they had a very early computer, but I think it took up about five rooms.
That's exactly right. It took up a whole building, and there were a whole army of boffins with grey beards smoking pipes, and to look after that, a bunch of air conditioning mechanics and plumbers and so on to make sure, because these things, even today, they create immense amounts of heat and use immense amount of energy. So to run these things, it's really expensive, yeah.
Now, cloud computing is lots of cheap computers.
Yeah, that's...
Which happens, what happens when one breaks down?
Well, this is the idea behind it, is that unlike the old model where you had one central computer that all the terminals plugged into, these days you have a cloud of really cheap computers, as I say, in some cases millions of them. And each of those, the software developed that so that if, say, the hard drive fails on one of them, it switches over to another one. So you don't notice that there's been an interruption because it's all seamless. And in some of these data centers, they could have 10% of the computers not working because they're cheap and they're throwaway things. They don't have to worry about it. They don't have to rush down and pull that one out of a rack because it's...
So they just sort of pull them all together and, it's just one big information hot center.
Just to throw another piece of jargon, that's called virtualization. So it appears to be one big computer, but it's actually tens of thousands of little computers all talking to each other.
Mm. How many of these cloud computing systems are there, or is it all linked together?
There's a whole nest of them. There's the big corporate ones that we know, companies like Google and Amazon and so on. But there's also what's called the private cloud. So that's where private organisations like the ABC set up their own little cloud of computers. Mm. So and they keep that to themselves, but rather than having a great big floor of... the ABC studios taken up with computers now, you can have it distributed right across the ABC network.
Yeah, that's interesting. Where are all these computers located, though? Is it one of those things where it can be in an overseas country, or does it have to be within the same suburb or the same city or the same town? Or...
Well, this is the thing with the internet, is that it can be anywhere where you've got a reliable internet connection. And that's where we come onto the broadband network, about why it's important that we get communities linked up, because if they can't access these data centers, they're going to be left out of the global economy. And but the servers themselves, they could be anywhere. And that's actually concern. That's one of the concerns with cloud computing, is you don't know where your data has actually been saved. So it could be subject to, say, US laws, because the company that you're hosting it with is either based in the US, or it's a, their servers are based in the US. So the US government can come in and say, hey, we want to have a look at that, and you're sitting in Australia and you find yourself subject to US laws.
Would you be able to actually even know where your stuff was being stored?
No, and that's one of the big big barriers at the moment, is you don't know exactly where your stuff is being stored. And in reality, it's probably being stored in 20 or 30 different places.
What sort of cloud programs would people be already using? I mean, it's out there and it's been there for a little while.
Oh, it's been there for a long time. So there's Hotmail, which probably half the listeners have used at one stage or another. Gmail, the Google equivalent. That's in fact, Google's very much a cloud company there. We're using a lot of those services at the moment. So Flickr, if you're saving your photos online with those services, they're all cloud services. Pretty well anything you're using online as a service these days is going to be a cloud application.
Just got to imagine that all this stuff is going to have to grow exponentially, isn't it? Because you consider the number of people who are online these days and who have some sort of computer. You know, it's getting down to where, you know, the poorer nations of the earth are able to, you know, at least access some basic computer services. So exponentially, the you know, demand is going to be huge.
It is, and that's the big barrier with this is that, frontier with this is just, where is all this going to go? And it's certainly leveling the barriers between countries as well, because once upon a time, you had to be a rich country to afford those computers. And today, you can be sitting in the poorest country in the world. As long as you can get an internet connection, you can get out there and be competing internationally.
I'm suspecting that China would not be overly happy to be sharing their clouds with potentially other countries. You know, their information is pretty sacrosanct.
And that, again, this is another problem, and this comes back into our internet filtering laws as well, that if the internet filter gets up, we're going to have to deal with this problem as well. We just recently saw that there could be a question with iPhone applications and Android phone applications, that they may all need to be submitted to the classification board. So now, of course, if these are based in a US-based server or a Chinese-based server, who covers the laws there? That's we've got some big thinking to do. So it's
and it's one of those things that seems to have grown exponentially. You know, we didn't hear of cloud computing until probably about the last 8 months, 10 months.
Yeah, we should keep in mind there, Tony, that, as you say, it's not new, and it's gone under different phrases before. Like, there's been software as a service, and then further back there were application service providers.